Hello, 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 and a warm Wicca welcome to all of our witches, white lighters, and warlocks out there. My name is Clark.
And I'm Victoria, and you're listening to Charmed and Dangerous, a Charmed podcast.
Do you, like, follow along with the intro when I say it? Because I do on your part.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, mouthing to myself. I'm like, I'm Victoria, and you're listening to the show.
No, yeah, every time. And, like...
You remember when we first came up with that intro, and you're like, I can't say that. You're going to do the first part of the intro always.
Yeah, forever.
Oh, man. Good memories. Hi.
Hello.
I'm not dead. Welcome to Charmed and Dangerous. I thought I might die there for a little bit.
Jesus. I was
fever
concerned
for about a week straight. It was
we were very concerned.
It was scary. I didn't have COVID, thank God. But that does just like really emphasize the point that I make at almost the end of all of these episodes, which is just be safe, take care of yourself. Shit's scary, dude.
Yep.
And on that note, let's get into this mildly terrifying episode in itself. Episode 6 of season 3, Primrose Empath.
All right, here comes the summary, y'all. Prue does a selfless thing, but it backfires? Phoebe and Piper have relationship issues? What's new? Prue does some badass OP shit, which is pretty cool. She does have a mental breakdown, though, first. Hashtag mood. There's a double date, which is hilarious. Yeah, that's about it. Yikes.
Yeah.
I would like to take a moment. Everybody, you can be silent with me if you want. I'm just going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving Cole those delicious little freckles on his back. Amen.
Oh, bro. I feel like there is not a ton to talk about in this episode, but I also feel like every time we say that, the episode ends up being like 45 minutes long. So
Cole is half naked in this episode. There's a lot to talk about. Okay.
Bruh, we'll get there. Big bads in this episode. Cole, of course. We also have Vince or Vinceris. He sucks. Pretty spooky. Yep. He has the same power that, correct me if I'm wrong, Nicholas had. The guy that was, like, trying to steal the power of three. Like, the whole reason why they got their powers, like, snatched away from them. Like,
yeah.
That's right, right? Like, he had that same power.
I think so. We'll do some fact-checking, but I believe so.
And then didn't let Darklighter that Daisy dated have, like, the exact same power as well?
We've got a lot of assassins in this show.
But the scary thing about Vinceris is that he is immune to witches' powers.
Kinda, yeah.
Until he comes up against the charmed ones, of course. But he basically, like, just holds somebody's neck and then they burn from the inside out.
Oh, Nicholas had a ring. Nicholas had, like, the ring of immunity.
He had the ring of immunity, but he had another power, which I feel like was making people boil from the inside out.
Yeah, themovariance and glamoring.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And Vinceris was cursed by Father Thomas? Thomas.
Yes.
Because Father Thomas was an empath, a true empath, and he stopped the demon Vinceris from killing by cursing him and giving him his power of empathy.
Yes. Unknowingly.
Knowingly, yes. Which is pretty sick, actually. Like, that's, like, pretty savage, Father Thomas. Like,
yeah, that's
damn.
That's a damn curse.
Kudos.
Like, I don't even like feeling my own feelings. Can you imagine if you walked into work and you worked with a bunch of women and you were all on your period and you just had, like, empath powers?
I'm straight up not going to lie. I do have empathic, like, tendencies. But I have really locked that shit down.
Yep.
Over the years. Yeah, I couldn't imagine embracing it. I feel like that would be really scary. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that anymore. Fuck that. Talking points for this episode. Cole has a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that master plan is to direct Prue to Vinceris.
Yes.
And then what happens, Victoria?
And then, oh, pardon me.
Sleepy.
She's been awake for all of 2 hours. So basically, Cole sends Prue to Vinceris, and she thinks he's just like a mildly attractive dude who's a shut-in. And then she finds out he's an empath, and she like feels really bad for him. She convenes with the sisters. The sisters are like, "Oh yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that." And Cole,
totally sounds like an innocent.
Yeah, and Cole is, like, ready to take Phoebe for a lunch date, like, ah, yes, all of the pieces are coming together.
The plan is going according to plan.
Everything is going to Keikaku. Keikaku means plan. I love that meme. And so Prue, like, falls for it, hook, line, and sinker, goes in, relieves Vinceris of this empath power, right? Which, I would like a clarifying question here.
Uh-huh.
So, according to Charmed, the empaths are, like, not mortal?
They are mortal, but they are made in a way that they can handle the empath ability.
Okay.
Like, specific mortals are chosen for that ability.
Okay. Because, like, Father Thomas, later in the episode, is like, now I have to spend eternity on this earth.
I think he was just being religious.
Okay, cool. Because, like, I was like, damn, homie, that's a long time to feel all those feelings. Like, where do you go to vacation when you're an empath? Antarctica?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do, you know?
Because Leo said that they die and then they come back I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
There's, like, some lore there that's, like, specific, yeah. But it
also kind of gets thrown away after this episode.
Yeah.
So, a grain of salt.
Yeah. But Vinceris knows that when he passes on this empath power to Prue, that it's gonna fuck her shit up, right?
Yeah, because she wasn't made to handle that power.
Exactly. So, it gets passed on to Prue. Vinceris is like, I'm gonna go, like, smoke out Father Thomas, because he did this to me. And Cole is like, you will do no such fucking thing, because I will kill you. And Vinceris is like, noted.
And then he's like, I need my plan to work, and I need you to not get in the way of that. Because if you go after Father Thomas, then Prue is going to get rid of this power, and she's not going to destroy herself.
Yeah, and you are going to fuck my shit up, and I already told my shadow that he couldn't snitch on me once today.
Bro.
And dude, he's getting impatient.
Cole arguing with his shadow fucking killed me.
Oh my god. While Phoebe's, like, coming in to, like, I mean, so scene cut. Now you know what the fuck's going on. Scene cut. We're at the house. Cole is about to take Phoebe on a lunch date. She's in a delightful little orange number. And she is, like, the shadow detaches itself from Cole to, like, go tell the triad that, like, Cole's putting the moves down on a witch. And yeah. Cole's like, hold on now. Let's not be bitching for a snitching just yet. Let's hold back. And his shadow's like, dude, my entire job is to rat you out to the triad. And he's like, I know. Wait a minute. And then Phoebe comes in to, like, get Tylenol or some shit, right? Yeah. Ibuprofen and a glass of water, and the shadow is standing in the wall and is like
but hear me out, with the way that the light played and the window where it was at and Cole position where he was at, I don't think I would have questioned it either. I wouldn't have noticed it.
Yeah, but we as the viewer are like, damn, Phoebe. Like,
yeah, we're just like, oh,
even the shadow is like watching her move back and forth, and Cole
does this like startle move, which is hilarious.
Absolutely fucking genius. Cole looks like he just got like caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah, seriously. Like, for the shadow especially, for something with no like facial expressions or defining features, really has its own character in this episode, and I kind of loved that.
It was brilliant. And then, do you want to talk about the lunch date? Because that lunch date was awkward as fuck.
Okay, that lunch date was doomed from the start, because Phoebe was like, lunch date?
Yeah.
Lunch is a cheap imitation of dinner.
Yes!
Quotable line, iconic, love her. But then Leo, bless his heart, in an attempt to be in the real world with Piper, because they had a little thing and now they're having issues, which we'll talk about in a second, he invites them to Cole and Phoebe's date and makes it a double date.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking awkward.
God, it's bad.
That is honestly one of my favorite lines or favorite parts. I'll kind of give a sneak peek there. My favorite line, favorite part of this episode is just everything that surrounds Cole. Like, and that is a shocker to most of you, I'm sure, including Victoria.
Yes.
But there is this, in the lunch scene, they're talking about, she's like, how about those Niners? And he's like, the what? And she's like, the 49ers, the football team? You don't follow football? And he's like, And she's like, he's not even human. And he chokes on his water.
Yes! And it's like, check!
I cried. I literally could not handle myself.
No! Because here's the deal, and I'm so glad that you brought it up. We are getting to in my opinion, one of the best, like, I would say almost side arcs of the show. Yes. And that is the fact that Cole is, like, in between sides now.
Yeah.
Cole is playing both fields for different teams.
Exactly.
And it is freaking him the fuck out!
And we get an insight into Cole in this episode because of Prue's empath ability, in that he is most genuinely falling in love with Phoebe.
Yep.
And spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear this, skip about a minute ahead. Mm-hmm. We know, because of the show, that this is because he's half human, so he's able to feel those feelings. And that shit fucking does me in, bro. Yep. Like, this is the moment where you start being like, is Cole a bad guy?
Yes.
I mean, he is. Don't
get
me wrong.
He's awful.
But, like, especially
terrible.
Your first watch through, you're kind of looking at it and you're like, well, if he's falling in love with her, he can't be that bad of a guy, right? And it just lulls you into this false sense of security, and I fucking love it. Spoilers over.
Yeah, and it's just, oh, it is so brilliant the way that they do it, because there's humor in it, right? But yes. There's also like Cole likes her, you know? Yeah. And she likes him, and we've known that Phoebe has liked Cole, right?
Oh, yeah.
But like, to see him genuinely like her, and while we're on the bullet point of Cole and Phoebe, I would just like to, we'll get back to the lunch date, but,
are we appreciating the moment?
Yes, we're appreciating the moment. So Phoebe finds out that Cole has feelings for her from Prue being an empath, runs after him, blah, 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 shows up. Cole is half naked at his doorway. Side note. Yes.
How does she know where he lives?
I guess she had looked him. She has his business card.
Yeah, but his business card wouldn't have. Anyway, continue.
Maybe he's just dumb. Anyway, maybe it does have his home address on it because he doesn't know how to human. So he just, like, has his home address. Or maybe she got it from his secretary. We don't know. She gets there. He's half naked. He has the most delightful.
He's half naked.
He has the most delightful freckles on his shoulders. This man, you know, I really appreciate the way that, I hate to sound like a boomer, but I really appreciate the way that men used to look in cinema. Because I really think, and this is a hot take, come for me if you will, I think that the current body standard for men, just like the current body standard for women as perpetuated through Hollywood, is like wrought with creating male-centric eating disorders.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing about Cole in particular, is he is like large and muscular and he's toned, but he's not like, I can't individually
count the abs,
his six pack. Like, yeah.
But he's still built like a freaking bard.
Dude, this is one of the only times that I'll ever admit it. And I don't know, maybe I'm just lonely lately, but damn, I don't like hairy men. But he opened that door and he was like shirtless. And I was like,
no, because I don't either. Let's be real. I do not either. Like, do whatever you want with your body hair. That is your preference.
Like, bro. Jacob was a werewolf and he didn't have that much hair.
But yeah, exactly. But there is something very specific about like European men. And it's just like hair everywhere, you know? If you have white family members and they're male, hair. There are so few. There are so few white men on this planet who have non hairy bodies. Live your lives. We don't care. You're all beautiful.
No, really, don't. It's all personal preference. Yes. Everyone's allowed to have it.
Yes. Everyone is beautiful in their own special ways. Unless you're a murderer, then you're not. And even agreed. Then, you can sometimes argue with me if you're an animated character. But anyway. That's neither here nor there.
Moving forward.
Cole looks delicious. And he also, like, Phoebe is like, I've always been better at show than tell. Right. And they proceed to like have, in my opinion, one of the best makeout sessions in the show. Because I really do not like watching people kiss on screen, to be honest. It does nothing for me.
Honestly, I've always hated watching Phoebe and Cole kiss, but
I don't like when me. I don't like when anybody kisses on screen. Yeah.
So like
I don't like when people kiss on screen. Like,
I just don't get the sloppy, like, makeout thing. Like, yeah. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. Like, when, do you ever read, like, a romance novel and they're like, our tongues battled for dominance and you want to just, like, throw yourself off a cliff?
Someone tried to French kiss me once and I almost threw up.
Oh, Jesus. Sometimes our intimacy issues come out, on this podcast. Anyway.
Hashtag y'all know more about me than most of my friends do.
Hashtag eek. So.
Moving forward.
Cole like picks her up. And I know that Alyssa Milano is like 94 pounds soaking wet, right? But it still is just like, wow, thank you for picking her up. And then they proceed to like have sex, right? It's implied.
But we're missing the moment where he goes, you have no idea what you're getting into, and she goes,
Neither do you.
And I was like, kill me.
There's a lot of screaming in this episode. And then they like wake up. So my point was for this scene, right? In particular. Okay. They wake up, they're talking, Phoebe sees that he has a suitcase, there are a couple questions, blah, 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 blah. The last thing I'll say about what I really, really like about this episode and about Cole and Phoebe is that they're lying in bed together and he is like tickling her and they're giggling and like,
yeah,
it is just such a like sweet, playful portrayal of like intimacy.
For sure.
And you can
especially
tell
when so much of their relationship is portrayed with this intense passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell that like Cole loves this because it's with her.
Yeah.
And because it's like he's never gotten to have this before.
Yeah.
I might cry. I won't cry.
I'm almost okay. Side note on the whole Phoebe Cole thing.
Okay.
Does the Shadow Man take a break?
How
did this not get reported to the Triad?
Okay, but here's the deal. I really do think, because the Shadow Man is just a shadow, right? He's a physical watchdog. He is not a mental watchdog. So he doesn't know that Cole has feelings for Phoebe, right?
So he just thinks it's like an act.
Yeah, he thinks it's an act.
To get her closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Like everything else that Cole has done, it is perceived as just being like the ultimate evil, an act. And now
I can see that.
But Cole is the one who is like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of something here.
Yeah, seriously. Well, yeah, it's a very eventful episode for Cole and Phoebe. Piper and Leo kind of have a, like, side quest. Which is getting over the fact that Leo feels emasculated in Piper's world because he can't pay for anything.
Nothing.
Which is very interesting. And I like the way that it's handled. Because it's not like a, honey, get over it, I make more money than you. It's a,
yeah,
you... literally I'm the only one that has money, like this isn't like, I know that you would take care of me and you do take care of me in so many ways, but when it comes to going out with friends and having dinner, obviously Piper's gonna be the one to front the bill.
Yeah, and like you're a white lighter, babe.
Yeah, and like, you know, Leo has this moment, he has a couple of moments where you can tell that he's just like lost in this world, because you know, last time he dated it was like what, the 1940s,
if like, not earlier, because he was like, married when he was in the war, right?
Yeah, so like it's been a hot minute, like the world has changed since he's dated, and having to get used to that, very very interesting. I also wonder, did they, because they got together before before she knew he was a white lighter. Did he not take her on any real dates? I suddenly can't remember.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they...
I think they just kind of schmoozed around the house.
Yeah, because if he had taken her on a date, I think I seem to remember a date at Quake. But they already knew that he was a white lighter at that time. So it must have just been like...
Yeah.
But were the sisters paying him?
Were the sisters paying him? I think they were.
To be a handyman?
I have no idea. Wow.
They have to have been. They have to have been.
They had to have been. Because, like, who would just let this man come in and fix your house for free and be like, you have no nefarious plan? Doubt it.
Okay, but can you imagine how... They probably thought he was a fucking steal. Because he was probably charging, like, pennies on the dollar.
He's probably like, yeah, I'll fix this whole house for you for, like, $100. And they're like, yeah, deal.
Prue is like, what is your hourly rate, Mr. Wyatt? And he's like, oh, I don't know, $5.25 an hour sounds grand.
Oh, bro. I've never even thought about that.
Oh, they had to have been paying him, which
That's
means
hilarious.
That he had to have been, like, squirreling away. What did he do with the money? Donate it to charity?
And then they had to pay him in cash, which is also hilarious, because I could just imagine Prue trying to write out a check and him being like, I can't cash that. And her being like, why?
You don't have a bank account? Like, he's like, ma'am, if I tried to open the bank account that I previously owned, I would get brought in for tax fraud.
It was easier back then to make out checks to cash, I think. So maybe he did get checks, and he just went to the bank and was like, cash this for me.
They totally paid him in cash, dude, because he also had to have, like, non-taxable income, right?
True.
Because Prue was probably like, can you imagine the story? This is a tangent, but it's an hysterical one, because now I'm imagining Leo frickin' Wyatt coming in and being like, I'm from Angels Contracting. And she's like, do I pay you or do I pay the contracting company? And he's like, you can just pay me in cash, and then I will report my wages, and then the contracting company will pay my taxes. I am not a 1099 employee.
I'm dead.
And she's just like, okay, fix this light bulb. Fix my windows.
Oh, man. Headcanon accepted.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, Piper and Leo get over it. She's like, I love you. It's okay. I want to share you with my world. And I know that you're not of this world, but I want to help you become part of it. And it's a really sweet moment. And I love them. And it's a very interesting contrast to the intense fire that we see with Cole and Phoebe, which is kind of always what we get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between those two couples. But
I do like that Leo tried to give Cole a shovel talk. At lunch.
Yes. He was like, don't hurt Phoebe.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
She's like a little sister to me. We love her so much. Sweet. And Cole's like, heaven forbid. I love that the least interesting part of this episode was Father Thomas and his demon.
Yeah. It was... Father Thomas was an empath that almost got killed by a demon.
Yep.
We cursed like that demon to feel his things.
Yeah, we don't have anything to say.
And then went to a psychiatric hospital. Like,
Homie straight up looked like depressed Will Ferrell, though.
Although, like, let us take a second and talk about what Father Thomas went through. Like, kind of thinking about it, really, like, truly. We joke about how we have nothing to talk about, but this man dedicated his whole life to preaching and helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And once he lost his gift, he completely felt like he lost that.
Yeah.
And
like he was useless.
Like, I can, in a sense, understand that fear. Like, I'm a cake decorator. And, about, what, a year and a half about into my career, I had a really bad wrist injury. And I panicked because I was like, holy shit, my career can't be over before I turn 21.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying to be really good at something and be doing good things and think you're going to lose that. I'm sure athletes can relate when they have a career-ending injury. And, I mean, my wrist is still super fucked, and it just, like, it has me on this, like, scary timer, and I'm always wondering, like, when is the day when I'm gonna have to have surgery, and they're gonna tell me that I can't make those motions that I need to decorate cakes with, like... It's horrifying.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine, like, that is half of the fear and sadness that Father Thomas was experiencing in this episode. Unfortunately, he was overshadowed by all of the other hilarious and amazing things happening in this episode. But I do think that there is a real moment to be talked about there. But that is all I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sorry to bring it down.
No, but, like, it is important to talk about. And thankfully, at the end of the episode, even though Prue is not able to return his gift.
Yes.
She is able to, you know, say, he is able to look at everything and say, I was able to help you and I didn't have a gift. I can help other mm-hmm. people. And then he is able to go back to, like, the church and to helping people. And I think that that's right. important because oftentimes we give ourselves, like, predetermined boundaries for what we can do, right? And then when we lose a handicap or a crutch, all of a sudden we look around and we're like, oh, well, I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The handicap or the crutch isn't what made you able to do it. It was the innate talent that you are bringing to the table.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was cool that he did, you know, he had a sucky last couple of years, but,
but he got over it.
All's well that ends well, I guess. Fuck.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Wait, no.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Holy Christ.
I'm gonna get that tattooed on my body.
I hope you get it tattooed on your ass, like a tramp stamp. There's always light at the end of the tunnel!
I can't. Anyways. Did you have anything else to talk about in this episode, Victoria?
Nope. Nothing. Nada.
Great. Fantastic. Yep. I did want to discuss... I would be able to live with not adding any personal gain in this episode, but I would like to consider the point of that, Piper just froze the
receptionist, like,
front desk lady, at the psychiatric hospital to get in to talk to Father Thomas. And I think that's pretty fucked up. I think they could have handled that differently. But I don't know. I feel like I would put it on the table and see where we're at.
I think for the sake of our personal gain count at the end of this episode being 69, I will accept it.
nice. We have reached a hilarious personal gain count of 69. We will no longer be adding any personal gain.
Until we get to 420, you will not hear anything else from us.
I was literally just thinking that. I was like, I wonder if there's enough personal gain in these next couple of seasons to get us to 420. I hope not, but also that would be so funny.
But until then, we will be staying at 69. Yep. We will be keeping a hidden tally, but unfortunately, you will not hear from us again.
Oh, we're children. Yep. What was your favorite line or favorite part in this episode, Victoria?
So, to be honest, when you said it, I remembered it. I really did love a lunch date is just... what was it?
It's just a cheap imitation of dinner.
Yes, I loved that. I also loved that Phoebe pointed at the picture of Balthazar in the Book of Shadows and went... I would hate to be find myself alone with this guy, and then fucks him.
Irony. Yeah, no. Honestly, there were some really great Cole moments in this episode for me. Like I said, the lunch one where he just like chokes on his fucking water, hysterical, perfectly comedically timed.
The shadow, everything.
The shadow. I really love when Prue comes in to the house for the first time after encountering Vinceris, and Cole is following her, and Piper's just like, what? And she's like, he was just here. We weren't together, no. And then he, like, makes a joke, and she just kind of, like, deadpan, like, side glares up to him. I don't know. It was just hilarious, and, like, you can tell that she still has this kind of, like, grudge against him, but she's trying to be, like...
Nice?
I wouldn't say she's trying to be nice. I would say she's trying to be...
civil?
Cordial. But yeah, I really loved Cole in this episode, and I surprised myself with that one. We're reaching the end of our episode. Victoria, how many lunch dates would you score this out of 5?
I would score this episode 4.35 lunch dates out of five.
All right. I think I would give this a solid 4 out of 5 lunch dates. It was good, but it could have been better.
Yeah.
Definitely doesn't live up to some of our 5 stars, but definitely isn't low enough to get into the 3s, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid 4-ish.
Absolutely.
And it's been 0 days since we've seen Leo, but it has unfortunately been 1 whole day since we've seen Daryl. Cry.
It has been 0 days since we've seen Cole, as you all well know. And it's been 4 days since we've seen Kit, because why do you need an animal sidekick when you're fucking a demon?
That's what I'm going to put as our episode description. Also, I love that, like, a solid, like, half of this episode was us talking about Cole. Hilarious. Fantastic. Anyways, that does bring us to the end of our episode. We've been getting a lot of interaction on all of our social media, and we love you guys for that.
Yes.
Where can they find us on Twitter if they want to do more of that?
You can find us on Twitter at @charmed_podcast. Where can they find us on Facebook, Clark?
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/charmedanddangerouspod. I will try to start posting there more often because I have seen you guys interacting and I want to be there for you guys. Where can they find us on Instagram, Victoria?
You can find us on Instagram at charmedanddangerouspod. Where can they find us for comments, questions, snarky remark, the occasional shirtless picture of Cole?
Or Leo. We'll take those too.
Yeah.
We're
not picky.
You can find us at charmedanddangerouspod@gmail.com. We did get a couple of emails in these last couple of weeks, and we love you guys so much. I'm sorry I don't have them right in front of me, so I can't give you a direct shout out. But
I
next week, I almost promise. Oh, wait, Victoria's got it. She's better than me.
Yes. Well, I'm not better than you. I was anticipating this. Thank you so much to Namasha.
Sorry if we butchered your
name. Yeah, we're so sorry. I absolutely loved that you've been catching up and that you've enjoyed it. I cannot read the rest of your email because you very kindly put spoilers for season 8 in big block letters. I appreciate you. I appreciate
you. Right now. And I did send you a message on Victoria's behalf. Just so that's clear.
Yes. Thank you so much. We so appreciate it. I love when people are just like, I love when people send Clark stuff and she's like, don't read it,
because I'm usually the one that gets to it first, because I'm like always on my phone because I live on the internet at this point, between my streaming #catchmeatwitch dark Clark, that is dark with an E, Clark with an E, that is my shameless plug. But I basically live on my phone because I'm like an internet personality now. So I usually see this stuff before Victoria and I'm like, don't read it, don't do it, I'll send you what you need to know.
Watch nothing.
Oh, I'm dead. We also did get some Instagram messages while we're just sitting here chatting. Let me actually pull those up. We did get a message from a Miss Fiona Forbes. She said, love you guys, just started rewatching Charmed with my daughter for her first time. I'm following you guys as we go and I'm really enjoying your podcast. Thank you. And no, thank you, Fiona. That is so sweet. And I love that you are bringing your daughter into this world. If I ever have kids, it's gonna be one of the first shows they watch. Okay, maybe not the first shows they watch, but once they're age appropriate, for sure. Yeah, and we've just been getting so much love from you guys, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you. Like, we do this for us, but also for you guys, to share this love of Charmed, and I'm so happy that we could reach you guys.
Yeah, we love you.
Victoria, do you have anything else to say?
No, I'll just cry about it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna cry. I'm gonna we love you so much. Again, stay safe, stay healthy. We love you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.